So we are holding on Memhei Omid Bey's 10 lines from the bottom by the two dots. We learned yesterday a braisa about rain that falls before Yom Tov versus on Yom Tov. We're in the middle of discussing the question, the basic question that we're on now is whether Heftze Hefker Konin Shvisa. Can we say that objects of Hefker, which at the beginning of Yom Tov did not have an owner, do those things acquire a place for themselves such that if they do, then it's considered that then the limit for them is 2,000 amos in every direction from where they started out Shabbos. So even if you, for example, let's say you made an Erev Tchumen and are able to walk to this place 4,000 amos away from your city, or let's say you lived in a different city anyway and this place happens to be within your Tchum, you would only be able to take this object as far as its own Tchum goes on Yom Tov. We're talking about on Shabbos, of course, it's less. Whoever that is, please mute yourself. Thank you. So the point would be that you can only carry that object as far as its own tchum goes, even if your tchum happens to be elsewhere. If we say it's einem konim shvisa, then we would say that the first person who picks it up creates a tchum for it, and the tchum for it is the same as his own. You actually have also, there's some discussion regarding, there's some discussion within what Rashi says over here. Would it maybe even be that if Reuven picks it up and gives it to Shimon, and Shimon has a different tchum than Reuven, would we maybe say that it even could go as far as Shimon's tchum? Whatever. That would be if we say that it is Konish Shvisa, that's not Konish Shvisa. Now, in our Mishnah, we had a case where a person falls asleep outside the city, and when he wakes up, he realizes he's within the tchum of the city. Is he considered that he's a person of the city, and therefore do we say that he's a person of the city? There's no havamina of that, unless he had in mind before Shabbos that was going to be his makom shvisa. The question is he kona shvisa at all? Does he now have, when he wakes up, 2,000 amos in every direction, or does he only have 4 amos in every direction because he wasn't Kona Shvisa at all? We said Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says he has 2,000. The Chum say he has only 4. The Gemara mentioned one possibility is that maybe it's related to this question of Heftze Hefker, because in effect, the person is like a Chefetz of Hefker. Right now he's asleep, and he doesn't have the das to be Kona himself a Makom Shvisa, like an object wouldn't. So we mentioned in this connection a braisa about rain that falls on Erev Yom Tov versus on Yom Tov, where we said if it falls on Erev Yom Tov, then it has a 2,000 amot chum. And we said evidently that means it is Kona Shvisa. Versus we said if it falls on Yom Tov, then no, because it wasn't Kona Shvisa at the beginning of Yom Tov, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara now, why not? So therefore, the difference would be then that if it falls on Erev Yom Tov, then it was Kona Shvisa, so it's limited to 2,000 amos from where it fell. So again, even if you have another person happens, a person who collects that water on Yom Tov and wants to take it to the edge of his tchum, he can't if it's more than 2,000 amos away from where he collected it. From where he drew the water or whatever, as opposed to if it fell on Yom Tov, then we said it's Keragle Kol Adam, then it goes according to whichever person picked it up. So now let's talk about that part, the Gemara says. 10 lines from the bottom of Memhei Omid Beis. Omamar, the Yom Tov Harein Keragle Kol Adam. We said that if the rain falls on Yom Tov, then it's considered like anybody's feet, meaning it didn't have a tchum of its own. The first person who draws it defines the tchum for that object because it wasn't Kona Shvisa. So the question is, Vamai Likni Shvisa Bruch Yonus. Now, why should that be? Why shouldn't we say that it was Kona Shvisa in the ocean where it was at the beginning of Yom Tov? So, Ukiyonus means, Ukiyonus means more generally the ocean. And the word Ukiyonus is related to the word, it's related to the word ocean, in fact. Ocean, the sea was originally hard, yeah. So, it's a Greek word. It was originally a hard sea, right. So it comes from Greek. But anyway, so Ukiyonus means more generally the oceans. Yeah, it can include the Mediterranean, whatever. The point is that the water, the pashtus, the Gemara is assuming at this point that the clouds developed on Yom Tov, and then it rained, and that means at the beginning of Yom Tov, the water was in the ocean. So why shouldn't it be Koine Shvisa there? And we should say that it only has 2,000 amas from that point where this water would have been in the ocean. And if therefore, if you live inland, if you live more than 2,000 amas from the coast, then you wouldn't be able to take that water anywhere at all. In which case, Lema Deloiker Rabbi Eliezer, would that have to mean that our Braisa does not go like Rabbi Eliezer? The Iker Rabbi Eliezer, Ha'ama Kola Olam Kola Mimei Ukiyanus Ushaisa. The Gemara in Tainus has a machloikus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Where does rain come from? Rabbi Eliezer says it comes from the oceans because the water evaporates from the oceans and forms clouds and then it rains. As we're familiar with, anybody who learned fourth or fifth grade science in school learned about this kind of thing, the water cycle. So as Rabbi Eliezer says, it comes from the ocean. So in that case, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua says, it comes from Mayim Ha'elyonim, from the water in the heavens. Which, okay, I mean, you know, it's easier to understand Rabbi Eliezer according to modern knowledge, but Rabbi Yeshua also, I mean, you know, sometimes, yeah, the water is in the clouds for a considerable amount of time. You do have some water that precipitates out from the atmosphere, so scientifically, each one is correct, but in terms of the halachas over here, if we say that the majority of rain comes from the ocean, then again, we should assume this water was in the ocean before Yom Tov, and therefore it was Koine Shvisa there. The answer is, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, hachab ofim shiniskashru me'er Yom Tov askinan. Okay, but Rabbi Yitzchak says we could be talking about the clouds had already formed Erev Yom Tov. So we're not talking about where clouds first formed on Yom Tov, where there you can say, yes, it evaporated from the oceans. The clouds were already there, Erev Yom Tov. So in that case, the question is, Beduma Hanach Azli, the Hanach Achrininu. So how do you know it's the same clouds? Maybe the old clouds dissipated or moved elsewhere, and these are new clouds that formed on Yom Tov, and you're back to the question that the water was in the ocean at the beginning of Yom Tov. The answer is the Islahu Simone Begavayu. The case could be that they have a simon in them. Clouds have different shapes, so they can recognize by the shape that this is the same cloud. You're not going to talk about, let's say, for example, it first rains Yom Tov afternoon, because, you know, by the time you come from the night going into Yom Tov until the afternoon, yeah, it's going to have long since dissipated or whatever. We're talking about, let's say, you know, it starts raining 10 minutes into Yom Tov or whatever, you know, you can... Right, sometimes you can see the clouds moving quicker than others, it's true, but sometimes they still do move fairly slowly, and sometimes you have that, and you still have sometimes, you know, you can recognize these are the same clouds from before. I mean, I suppose nowadays it would be easier, you know, you look on the radar map and see that these clouds were already there before. Anyway. Okay, the Iboy Seima have a suffix to Divrayim, or another answer is you could say you don't need that. Even if you don't recognize that these are the same clouds, it would be a suffix on something Drabanon. Were they there before Yom Tov or not? The suffix to Divrayim Lahakol. We know a general rule that when it comes to a suffix Drabanon, we're makel, especially suffix Erev we're going to talk about today in the Gemara, yeah. Okay. The problem with that still is v'likni shvisa ma'avim. So why don't we say then that the water that eventually fell as rain, since it was in the clouds when Yom Tov began, then it was Koine Shvisa there in the clouds. And if we say that not, if we say it wasn't Koine Shvisa there, tifshut minad de'ein chumen l'mayla miyud, then we should be able to answer the question that we had a few days ago in the Gemara, are there chumen higher than 10 trachim? We asked the question, we mentioned the whole thing about Aliyah and Mashiach and so forth, so we left it unresolved whether there are chumen l'mayla ma'asara or not. We didn't talk about Elal, yeah, we didn't talk about... No, first of all, one second. No. That's as far as Erev Tchumen. The Erev Tchumen has to be in a place where you're able to reach it beginning Ben HaShemoshes. But we're not talking about that Erev Tchumen. We're talking about the object itself. Was it Koine Shvisa? If we say it was Koine Shvisa, then it means that it's limited to a radius of 2,000 amas in every direction from where it was at the beginning of Shabbos. In which case, this water, that if we say that it was Koine Shvisa in the clouds, it would mean we would have to know where was this cloud that rained on us, where was it at the beginning of Yom Tov. If it was more than 2,000 amas away, we can't use that water on Yom Tov because it came from outside our tchum. We're not talking about an Erev at all. We're talking about an Erev tchum, but we're not talking about putting down the food for an Erev tchum. We're talking about the tchum itself. We're talking about the water itself has, we're saying the water itself has a tchum. Every object, we're saying, has a tchum. Normally that tchum is... If you get a package, is one example, yes. If a goy brings something for you outside the, from outside the tchum on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, then you have rules about when you're allowed to use it and when not. One issue is, one issue that factors into that is that the object itself may have been Kornish Visa at the beginning of Yom Tov. But more generally, you have, let's say, for example, you lend me something on Yom Tov. I live over here, you live over here, so your tchum goes further in this direction, my tchum goes further in this direction. I can't carry this object too far in this direction, because that would be from outside your, that would be outside your tchum. So now we're discussing whether the same thing applies to Hefker. So again, we're saying that we're discussing our Hefze Hefker Koinen Shvisa. So if we accept that Hefze Hefker Koinen Shvisa, and we have to do that in order to understand the first part of the Braisa, which talks about rain falling on Erev Yom Tov, otherwise we can't say that it has 2,000 amos in every direction. And we mentioned yesterday, we had Reb Safra tried to say that maybe it's talking about the rain fell near the city, the people of the city have it in mind. Abaye proved to him that not based on two other Braises. Reb Yosef said, anyway, you don't need that because the expression that it has 2,000 amos as opposed to Hareu Karagle Anshe Oisair implies that it has a tchum of its own, so it's koinen shvisa. So now that we established that chefze hefke koinen shvisa, according to this braisa, and we said that that must be the opinion of Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, now again, if it fell on Yom Tov, so that means it had to have been Konish Vissa at the beginning of Yom Tov. Well, that's the question. Was it Konish Vissa at the beginning of Yom Tov? If it was, then why are we saying that anybody's allowed to carry it wherever their own tchum goes? Evidently, it must have not been Konish Vissa. Now, why not? So we're saying, was it Konish Vissa in the ocean? No, because we're talking about that the clouds were already in the sky before Shabbos. But why is it Konish Vissa in the clouds? If we say that not, then that would prove that Ein Tchum in Lamayla Me'asara. It would show that the whole concept of Tchum does not apply above 10 Tvachim. Meaning, in other words, we would say that as long as it's above 10 Tvachim, the whole matter of tchumen is not relevant. It has no tchum at all. It can go wherever it wants. When it lands within 10 tfachim, when it lands on the ground, then we would say at that point it has a tchum. But at that point, since it didn't have that at the beginning of Shabbos, then therefore it doesn't have a tchum until a person picks it up, and then it has a tchum. So again, that's all if we say Ein Tchum in Lamayla Me'asara. If we said Yesh Tchum in Lamayla Me'asara, then it would be Koinish Vissa in the cloud, wherever the cloud happened to be at the beginning of Yom Tov. And we're not saying that, evidently, so wouldn't that answer? So when we had the whole sugya the other day about Ein Tchum in Lamayla Me'asara, or Yesh Tchum in Lamayla Me'asara, why didn't we mention this? De'i Yesh Tchumim Liknish Vissa B'Avim. If there is Tchum in Lamayla Me'asara, then this water should have been Koinish Vissa in the clouds, and then therefore, so now it should be also to carry it anywhere, because the likelihood that we would have to find out, we'd have to figure out whether that cloud was within 2,000 amos of us at the beginning of Yom Tov. The answer is no. La'olam emalach yesh tchumen. No, you can answer usually yesh tchumen l'mayla me'asara. Usually an object that was above 10 tfachim at the beginning of Shabbos is koinish visa. The difference is umaya be'ivla mivla bli. The difference is that water is not visible in the clouds as is, it's absorbed into the cloud. And in modern terms, it's water vapor. It's not really visible as water itself. Until you see it, it ain't there, basically. Yeah. So the question is, Kol Shekhen Dehavala Hu Noilad Asiri, doesn't that make it even worse? And then it comes out, it's Noilad on Yom Tov. Before Yom Tov, it wasn't considered water. Now on Yom Tov, it becomes water, and therefore it's going to be Osir anyway to move Bechlal. No. Ella, no, you're right. It's not a matter of Noilad. We're going to say the water in the clouds is considered to be there at the beginning of Yom Tov. The fact that you can't see it as water, the fact that it's water vapor is neither here nor there. It is water. So you add back to the question, why isn't it Koinish Vissa over there? Ella, Maya B'Avim Meinad Naidi. The answer is that the water in the clouds is constantly moving around. So therefore, it can't be Koinish Vissa unless it's standing still. It's a moving object. And the Gemara says, in that case, hashtad osis lachi. Now you pointed out that point. Okiyonis namile likshalach. Then you can answer the same question when we asked before, if the water was in the ocean at the beginning of Yom Tov. So now we don't need the answer anymore that the clouds formed before Yom Tov, even if the clouds formed on Yom Tov. Same thing. Mayab okiyonis nami meina naidi. The same thing. The water in the ocean is constantly moving, so you can't say that was Koinish Vissa anywhere. So that's the point, in other words. So ultimately what we're saying is, because even if you had the same cloud was there from the beginning of Yom Tov, and it was moving around, then even if we say Yesh Tchumen L'mayla Me'asara, but we would only say that Tchumen applies to something that was standing still at the beginning of Shabbos, not something that was moving. By the way, when we had the other day, when we had the story of the Chachamim on the boat that was coming near the water, that was coming near the land, and they weren't sure whether they were within 2,000 amas of the coast, and Rambam Gamliel tells them that they were, there are in fact Rishonim who understand that that would only work, based on our Gemara over here, that would only work if the boat was actually standing still at Bein HaShemashes when Shabbos began. So then we could say they were Koine Shvisa over there, and then the question is that within 2,000 amas of the city? Based on our Gemara over here, if in fact they're moving at Bein HaShemashes, they may not have been Koine Shvisa at all. Well, no, that's the point. In other words, the boat may have been anchored during Bein HaShemashes. We could be talking about that the water was, that the boat was anchored during Bein HaShemashes, so it's not moving. Yeah. Right, but if it's anchored, then it stays pretty well put. But that it was moving, that was a case of a package, that maybe it was also moving Bein HaShemashes. Maybe, I don't know. Could be. Anyway. I don't know, but whatever. You think of the UPS truck, for example. You know, yeah, they're moving, but they also stand still for a while on each block, so you could conceivably have that at the beginning of Shabbos, it was standing still. I don't know. No, a Tchum Shabbos would be a kilometer. It's a little over half a mile. Okay, anyway, let's move on. We have ground to cover. I do want to mention, by the way, also, there is a bit of discussion in this. What about the whole matter? If we say that a tchum of 12 mil is daraisa, then how does this factor into all this? We said that it's a suffix de divrehim, it's a suffix de rabbanon, therefore it can be nekel, but the Rambam holds, as we've learned before, that a tchum of 12 mil is daraisa. So one answer is that whole concept only applies to people, it doesn't apply to objects. People have a tchum, according to that, of 12 mil daraisa. Objects don't necessarily. Okay. 12 mil is much more. It's 12 mil instead of 1 mil. It's 12 times as much. Okay. Onward. So now, okay, so we have... Fine. Okay, let's get back to the machloikas in our Mishnah. Again, we had Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri saying that if a person was asleep at the beginning of Shabbos, he's still Koine Shvisa, and he has a 2,000 amah tchum, and the Chachamim say he wasn't Koine Shvisa, and therefore he only has 4 amahs. And we discussed also, there are two possible ways to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, one and the Chachamim. One is it's a question of the Schefze Hefker, it's a question of whether objects of Hefker are Koine Shvisa. In other words, then this person is like an object of Hefker. Or the other way to understand it would have been, they both agree that Chetze Hefker are not Koine Shvisa, but a person would have had the ability to be Koine a Tchum if he was awake at the time. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says the fact that he was asleep doesn't matter, whereas a Chacham would say that not. So we ended up saying that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri does in fact hold that Chetze Hefker Koine Shvisa, because again, otherwise, if we said neither of them does, then the brises that we brought before wouldn't work out. There wouldn't be any opinion to attribute them to. Well, that's not a matter of Zochin L'Adam Shalei B'Fanav. Is he himself Zochin in that Chum or not? But okay. I mean, that factor of Zochin L'Adam is going to come up later in the Sugya in a different context. So, okay. So now the question is, who is the halacha like? Amr Rabbi Yaakov Va'idi, Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that the person has 2,000 amas in this case. Amr Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yaakov Va'idi, so Rabbi Zera asks him, Beferu Shnialach or Mikola Shnialach? You're saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that he has 2,000 amas, is that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi explicitly said that? That would be the Feirush. Or is it that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said or did something from which you deduced that he means to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Which, there's a difference. If you hear him explicitly say it, then okay, he explicitly said it. Then, you know, there can be other opinions that disagree with him, but fine. But at least, you know, that is his opinion. But if we say it was only Miklala, sometimes the Gemara will point out, sometimes the inference is not really correct. Sometimes you have, there were more circumstances involved that actually changed, that changed the psak halacha. Maybe, in other words, it was only in a certain particular case that he would say that, but not in a slightly different case, let's say. So Amar Leib Feder Shmieli. So Rav Yaakov, he says, I heard it explicitly from Rav Shurban Leib. So my klala, what would have been the general thing from which Rav Yaakov Ba'idi might have inferred that Rav Yisroel ben Levi holds this way? The Amar Rav Yisroel ben Levi, halacha k'divrei HaMeikel Be'eruv. Rav Yisroel ben Levi says, a general rule, the halacha is like the opinion that is Meikel when it comes to Eruv, meaning everything that's involved with Eruv, including Tumen. So therefore, so Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, so Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi might have made a general statement like that, halacha k'divrei HaMeikel Be'eruv, and from that, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi would have inferred from that, that therefore, in our Mishnah, since Rabbi Yechon Manuri is Meikel, then it means the halacha is like him. And so he says that no, Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi actually said explicitly both things. He said that the halacha is like the one who's Meikel in Eruv, and he also said the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Manuri in our Mishnah. So the question then becomes, v'tauti lomali. So why does Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi have to say two different things? Once he says halacha k'divrei HaMeikel Be'eruv, automatically that should mean the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Manuri. The answer is Omer Rav Zeira Tzrichi. Rav Zeira says there's a reason why Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi had to make both statements. D'i yashmin halacha k'Rabbi Yechon Manuri, habamina bein l'kula bein l'chumra. You would have thought like this. We established before that Rabbi Yechon Manuri's svara is based on the idea of chetzei hefker konin shvisa. Now, that comes out of kula in the case of the sleeping person, because he's able to walk 2,000 amas, whereas if we said that not, he'd only be able to walk 4 amas. But on the other hand, it comes out to a chumrah when it comes to chefze hefker themselves. In the case, for example, of the water that we were discussing, if we say chefze hefker konin shvisa, then we're saying they can only be moved 2,000 amas from where they were at the beginning of Yom Tov. As opposed to, if we say that chefze hefke en konin shvisa, then the first person who picks them up and is zoicha in them is able to carry them throughout his own tum, which could be further than 2,000 amas. So you have a certain... Well, you could have the person who could have put down an eruv of tumen and he can have walked 4,000 amas over here. You can have that his tum could be different than the tum of the water, so therefore he's able to carry it to a different place. Right. The point is there is a certain chumrah in if we say and we established before that Rabbi Yechon Manuri is based on the idea of chefze hefke konin shvisa, then there's both a kula and a chumrah in it. So if he only said the halacha like Rabbi Yechon Manuri, then you would say that then you would think that maybe it means as far as the chumrah aspect of it also. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi tells us, no, halacha k'divrei HaMeikel Be'eruv, that the halacha is like the one who's Meikel. Meaning that we take both kulas. In the case of the person, we say he does have a tum of 2,000. In the case of the object, we say it doesn't have a tum until the first person picks it up and is zeicha in it. And then he can take it anywhere throughout his own tum. Now, usually we say, we've learned before, that you can't do two kulas that contradict each other. The reason why it works over here is because the Gemara mentioned there was a different possible reason we could understand Rabbi Yechon Manuri's svara based on. We said it could be that it's specific to a person, since when he's awake, he has the das to be kodesh shvisa, then therefore, even when he's asleep, he's considered as if he had that das, so we can accept Rabbi Yechon Manuri's halacha, not based on his own reasoning of chefze hefke kodesh shvisa, but based on that reasoning of Hoyo Veneo Kona Yoshan Nami Kona. Meanwhile, as far as Chefze Hefka, we can hold like the Chachamim that they're not Kona Shvisa, which results in a Kula. So therefore, he has to tell us Halacha Kedivri Ameko Be'erov so that we know not to pass them like Rabbi Yechon Manuri in the matter of Chefze Hefka. So the question is the other way around. Lema Halacha Kedivri Ameko Be'erov. So let him just say Halacha Kedivri Ameko Be'erov, and that'll tell us about everything. Halacha Kedivri Yechon Manuri Lomali. Why does he have to then specify that in our Mishnah the Halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Manuri? Who is the one who's Meikel? Who, at least as far as the person is concerned, is the one who's Meikel? The answer is Itzrich. The answer is he still needs to say it. Because otherwise you might have thought to say Hanimili Yochid b'makom Yochid v'Rabim b'makom Rabim. You know when you'd say Halacha k'divrei HaMeikel Be'eruv, if you have a Yochid arguing against the Yochid, you have Rabim arguing against the Rabim, so then you don't necessarily have the usual rules of Psak Halacha, who the Halacha should be like. So then we can say when it comes to Eruv, Halacha k'divrei HaMeikel Be'eruv, whether because Eruv in general is Dirabanan, or maybe it's something specific to Eruv, whatever it is, you could say that. Avol Yochid b'makom Rabim, but here you have Rabbi Yechon Manuri, who was a Yochid, arguing against the Chachamim, who are Rabim. Eimalo, you might have thought that not, that maybe then we don't say Halacha k'divrei HaMeikel Be'eruv, Kamash Malan. And that is why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had to say, in our case, that also the Halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Manuri, even though he's the Yochid against the Rabim. There is, by the way, a good deal of discussion among the Rishonim and the Achronim on the scope of this rule of Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Be'eruv. Does it only apply to a Machlokas Tanoim, or does it only apply to a Machlokas Amoroim? Or does it also apply to a Machlokas Amoroim in the Halachas of Eruv? And if it does, does it also apply to a Machlokas Aposkim within the Dinim of Eruv? And on top of that, also, that Ramban has a long discussion over here where he points out that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is not the only opinion on the subject. We see from other Gemaras that Rav doesn't necessarily hold that way, and that he holds that sometimes the halacha is like the more stringent opinion when it comes to issues of Eruv. And especially also, you have a further question is, when we say halacha kedivrei HaMekel Be'eruv, what about, for example, would that include the dinim regarding the mechitzis within which you can carry? Now, mechitzis themselves, we learned in the first perek, the concepts of mechitzis, what is and isn't a valid mechitza, is halacha l'mechitzis m'sinai. But, for example, when we use it in connection with the question, you know, is an area enclosed enough to be considered like four amos, or is it enclosed enough to be that you can carry in it up to base sasayim, etc., then those concepts are derabanan. Do we apply this concept of halacha kedivrei HaMekel Be'eruv to such cases or not? So all told, when we're saying over here halacha kedivrei HaMekel Be'eruv, it's not so simple to just say, oh, we found the most lenient opinion, let's pass it according to it. It turns out it's a good deal more complicated than that.
Question.
Yeah.
Is this the main source to say that sometimes a yachid can override rabbim? Or there are other sources.
It's to say that a yachid can sometimes override the Rambam, but it is one of the sources. Yes, in general, we're going to discuss now in the Gemara that there's also a difference between Daraisa. There may be also be a difference between Daraisas and Drabonans in this regard. Remember, Eruvin is Drabonan. But yeah, there are a few places. It's not a common thing, but we do occasionally find that a yachid is, that we do paskin like a yachid against the Rambam. There is, by the way, there is in that connection a Mishnah in Adius that asks the question, why B'chla? I mean, throughout Shas, we have the Mishnah will often tell us, you know, like in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yechon Manuri says such and such, the Chachamim say such and such. You'll have, you know, Rabbi Yehuda says such and such, and the Chachamim say such and such. Generally, of course, the halacha is not like the Yachid. So the Mishnah in Adius asks, so why did the Chachamim even bother recording the Das Yachid? Just say what the Chachamim say, that's the halacha. Why bother with the Das Yachid if it's not going to be accepted as halacha anyway? And the Mishnah says over there, because a Beis Din may consider the Das Yachid more compelling and pass according to it. In other words, as long as the halacha has not, as we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara, as long as the halacha has not officially been paskin like the rabbim, then sometimes, especially as we're going to see soon, b'shas etchak, a rav or a beis din is entitled to paskin like the yochid, where they find that argument more compelling. Now, I don't know nowadays, you know, we're in the time of the achronim or even the post achronim, whether they have the, you know, whether the rabbanim have the ability to do that, to rely on a das yochid against the rabbim. Maybe in the time of the Rishonim they still had that ability. I don't know, but the basic concept exists that sometimes you do have the ability to paskin like a yochid against the rabbim. Anyway, so let's go on. Amalei Rava L'Abaya. So Rava says to Abaya, Mechti Eruvin D'Rabbanan. So what are you telling me? That we need Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi to tell us in this specific case the halacha is like the one who's Mekel, even though he's a Yochid, because otherwise we would have thought Yochid against Rabbim not. In other words, so you're saying that if it weren't for that, we would have passed him like the Rabbim. But Mechti Eruvin D'Rabbanan, given that Eruvin are anyway only D'Rabbanan, Mali Yochid B'Makom Yochid, or Mali Yochid B'Makom Rabbim. So who cares whether it's a Yochid versus a Yachid or Yachid versus a Rabbim. When we're talking about a thing Dirabbanan, shouldn't we be able to be more makel anyway and be able to say that the rules of Yachid and Rabbim don't necessarily apply? And then we're back to the question, why does Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi need to tell us a second statement that the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Manuri? Amalei Rapapa L'Rava. So Rapapa asks Rava on his question to Abaya, you're telling me over Drabbanan Lashani Lon Ben Yochid B'Makom Yochid the Yochid B'Makom Rabbim? What, you think that even when it comes to Dinim Drabbanan there's no difference? I'll prove to you that in a different Din Drabbanan we see that even then usually we would paskin like the Rabbim against the Yochid, and to paskin like Yochid against the Rabbim is an exceptional thing. So then in that case, so your question to Abaya doesn't begin. It even in Dirabbanans, usually we would pass him like the Rabbim against the Yachid. And therefore, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi would have to tell us that he or not. What's the case? For Hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Nida. We learned it just about a year ago. Rabbi Lazar, I mean, it says Rabbi Lazar, it's really supposed to be Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, now we have like this. In the beginning of Masechta Nida, We learned about that midrabbanan, when a woman becomes nida, there's a certain amount of time before it when she's tame misafik, because the blood may have already started coming out of the rechem and just hemidur kos lebesarechem, and it takes time for it to actually ooze out and be noticeable. And therefore, so we say, as far as truma and kodshim, then those are tame for a certain amount of time beforehand. We had Shammai versus Hillel versus the Chachamim about how long before. Shammai says not at all. Hillel says all the way back to the time that she last did a bedikah. The Chachamim say 24 hours or the last bedikah, whichever was closest. Anyway, Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a kol isha she'over aleha sholosh oinos daya shaita. Rabbi Eliezer says that if three oinos passed, and an owner being 30 days, because a regular owner bedin is 30 days, so if 90 days have passed and she hasn't had a re'ia, then we assume that she's already reached menopause, and therefore, if now, after that, she bleeds again, daya shaita, then we say we don't apply this rule of that she's tamei lemafreya. We say that only from when she saw the blood do we apply that she's tamei, even as far as truma and kodshim, we're not going to say that any truma or kodshim that she handled during the 24 hours before that are going to be tamei misafik. Wish she could be pregnant or whatever it is. The point is that, yeah. And Vitanya, we learned in a brice over there. Maisava also Rebbe Kerab Eliezer. One time Rebbe passed in like Rebbe Eliezer in a case like that. There was a woman who had handled Trum of a Kodjim. Then within 24 hours after that, she became Nida. The previous 3 months before that, she hadn't had any Ria. And Rebbe passed in that Daya Shaita. We don't have to worry about the Truma and Kodjim that she handled during the 24 hours before that are still to her. La Ahash Nizkar. And after Rebbe remembered, which we're going to see in a second what he remembered, Omar, he said, Kedaihu, okay, I shouldn't have passed him like him, but Kedaihu Rabbi Eliezer lismach ala b'shas abchak. Rabbi Eliezer is worthy to rely on when it's a shas abchak. What it was the shas abchak, Rashi explains that it was a year of famine. So the problem is, as it is, food is in short supply. So if you say that these taharis, if you say that this truma that she handled is going to be tummy and you have to burn it, then as it is, you have a shortage of food. Tosfos says that's not what it's talking about, because the Gemara actually mentions over there that even the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Eliezer in that case. So Tosfos says no. The Shas HaPchak was that she had handled or prepared a lot of taharis food, and then we would have to burn all of it. It's just not, it wasn't a year of hunger, but it was just, Pashut, it was a lot of food that would have to go to waste if we said. Anyway, so now we have to figure out, so my la'acha sheniska, what do we mean, what did Rebbe remember exactly? Ilema la'acha sheniska she'ein halacha k'rab liyazer ela k'rabbanon, does it mean that he remembered that the halacha is not in fact, that it was already decided that the halacha is like the Chachamim, and now he had forgotten that, then what do you mean, la'acha sheniska, then how could he even follow him? Once the halacha has been passed in a certain way, then Rebbe can't just overturn it, stamazo, even b'shas avchak. So it can't be. It means that in Rebbe's times, the halacha had not officially been passed in yet. So yeah, we say that generally speaking, we would go according to the rabbim. But again, as we said, a rav, a beis din, is able to follow the yochid if they find their reasoning compelling. So in this case, So what happened was, originally Rebbe had forgotten, he thought that the other opinion against Rebbe Eliezer is one individual Tana. So therefore, okay, it's one against one, so you can pick whichever one you want. He thought that Rebbe Eliezer's opinion, he thought that it wasn't the Chachamim in general arguing with Rebbe Eliezer, only one particular Tana. So you'd have, let's say it was Rebbe Eliezer against Rebbe Yeshua. So usually we would say the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, but you're entitled to pick Rabbi Eliezer's opinion if you want to. What happened was, he remembered, la'acha sheniska delav yochid polagale ela rabim plagale. Then Rebbe remembered that actually, no, it's not just one Tana like Rabbi Yeshua. It's all the Chachamim, it's a rabbin. So he said, you know what, Omar, he said, you know what, in that case, I shouldn't have passed him like Rabbi Eliezer, because he's a yochid against the rabbin. But Omar, kedayu Rabbi Eliezer, lismachol b'shas avchak. Okay, but b'shas avchak, b'dievet, we can be soymach on him. So in other words, we see, even against the rabbin. So the point is, in other words, we see that if it wasn't a shas adchak, then that wouldn't work. If it wasn't a year of famine according to Rashi, or a lot of food involved according to Tosfos, then he would have said, no, I'm sorry, that food is tamei and we have to burn it. So that whole concept of mass less, that whole concept that she's tamei 24 hours before is only dirabanan. And yet we see, and yet we see that you're supposed to follow the rabbim. So therefore, you see that. So you see that even in things that are banon, usually we would go like the rabbim against the yachid. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would have to tell us that in our case of Erevin, even though it's derabbanon, we're passing like Rabbi Yechin ben Nuri, who was a yachid. That's why he would have had to specify that. And Amar of Meshavshia the Rava, and another point, Rav Meshavshia says to Rava, Va'amilah Rav Nachman Yitzchok the Rava, or some say Rav Nachman Yitzchok says to Rava, here's another thing, over Rav Bonam Leshani ben Yochid b'makam Yochid ben Yochid b'makam Rabim. Again, Rava, your premise in your question to Abaya was that with things that arise, so we can say that usually you go according to the Rabim, and therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi might have to tell us otherwise. But here, where it's Dirabbanan, you asking why he needed to, since it's only Dirabbanan, why should it matter? Rav Papa just pointed out from the example of Daya Shaita that it's not so. I'm going to bring another example from another area of Din that's Dirabbanan, where we see that normally we pass in like the Rabbim against the Yochid, even in things Dirabbanan. Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Shmua Kroiva, if a person hears shortly after his relative passed away, that he passed away, so then Nehegas Shiva or Shloshim, so then he has to keep Shiva and Shloshim like regular. So his father, let's say, passed away on Rosh Chodesh. He only heard about it a couple of weeks later. He starts Shiva then. He starts Shloshim then. But if it was Shmur Rechoika, if he only heard about it a long time later, then he only pravas avelos for one day, and not even one full day, because Mikta Sayyim Kakulai. That's what we're going to see now. So what's considered a Shmur Kroiva, what's considered a Shmur Rechoika? Besoich Shloshim Kroiva La'achar Shloshim Rechoika. If he heard about it within 30 days of the death, then it's called Shmur Kroiva. If he hears about it only after 30 days, then it's a Shmur Rechoika, Divrei Bakiva. V'chamim, achas Shmur Kroiva, achas Shmur Rechoika, nehegas Shiva v'shloshim. V'cham say, no, there's no Shmur Kroiva, Shmur Rechoika. You hear about it a year later, you still got to do Shiva and Shloshim then. V'amar Rav Babachana, Amar Rav Yechanan, kol mokam shatam moti yochin mekel v'rav machmirin. In general, when you find that the yochid is mekel and the rabbim are machmir, halacha k'divra machmirin, the halacha is like those who are machmir. It means, in other words, obviously all the more so if the rabbim are mekel. It means even if the rabbim are machmir, we still have to go according to them because they are the rabbim. We can't go according to the Yachid. Chutz mizu, with the exception of this, meaning not just this particular machloikas about Shmur Kroiva and Shmur Rechoika, but in general, machloikas and about the dinim of Avelos, sha'av ha'pisha Rabbi Akiva Mekel v'cham machmirin, where here Rabbi Akiva is Mekel, v'cham machmir, halacha k'divrei Rabbi Akiva. Nevertheless, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, who's the Yachid. And that is in fact the case. The Gemara tells us, for example, in Psachim, and I think also in Moed Katan, that, for example, that Rav only heard about that his parents had passed away a long time after it had happened. Yeah, but at the beginning of Psachim, where he asks, or rather, Rav Chia only finds out. Rav Chia asks Rav, who had just returned from a trip to Bavel, is Abba, who was my brother, who was Rav's father, is he still alive? And Rav kind of evades it and says, Ima Kayemes, Abba Kayem. So Rav Chia realized that both of them had passed away, and it says over there that he pravid Avelus for a short time over there. So we see, he followed the rules of Shmur Rechoika, like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the Das Yochid, and we still follow him. The Rabbanon would say that it doesn't matter. He'd still have to keep the entire Shiva. V'savolokishmuel, so it means also... It means also that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel halacha k'divrei ha'mekel be'evil. Shmuel says that the halacha is like the opinion that's mekel when it comes to avelus. So we see ba'avelus hu da'akilu barabanan. Only when it comes to avelus do we have that special rule that the chachamim are saying that we can follow the more lenient opinion. In this case, Rabbi Akiva, who's a yochid, against the chachamim who are a rabbim. There's the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva's generation, and then you have more generally the Chachamim of later generations when they established rules in Halacha for us. So, Aval Ba'alma, Afilu B'Drabbanan, Shani Ben Yochid, We see from that that in other areas, even, because after all, Rabbi Yochanan said, chutz mizu, except for only in this case, when it comes to dinim of avelus, are we saying that we pass him like Rabbi Akiva against the Chachamim? In all other areas, even the Rabbanon, we would say that not. So you see, says Rabbi Masharshia, or of Nachma Yitzchok to Rava, the same thing then. There's no difference in this between Daraisas and Darabanans. Either way, we usually go according to the Rabbim, and we need a special statement to the contrary to say that we should go according to the Yachid. So in the case of Avelus, we have that. We have Shmuel saying that. In the case of Chefte Hefka, Kohen and Shvisa, that we're dealing with over here, that's why Rabbi Shrub and Levi had this, not had Chefte Hefka, Kohen and Shvisa, rather the person sleeping outside the city, that he's Kohen and Tchum, that we have to specifically say, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Ben-Nuri, otherwise we would have said he's a Yachid against the Rabbim, and we don't do that. Avelus is the Rabbanon. Avelus is the Rabbanon, see ya. Okay. Again, when it comes to that rule of halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'evil, again, you have some discussion. What's the scope of that rule? Does it only apply to machlokas and of tanoim? Does it also apply to machlokas and of amoraim? Does it apply to machlokas and of poskim, etc.? Yeah. Okay.
Avelus is the Rabbanon.
Avelus is Rabbanon. You have those aninus, the Gemara discusses that aninus of the first day is daraisa. This that on the first day that the mess passes away until he's buried, that a person is in a state of oinin, where he's potter from most mitzvahs, that's daraisa. But the rest of Avelus, even aninus laila, the Gemara mentions, is only Rabbanon. Let's say the mess is not going to be buried until the next day. That aninus continues the following night is only Rabbanon. And Avelus, so the rest of the days, is also only Rabbanon. The Gemara says, we find that Yosef had made an avelus of 7 days for Yaakov, and that was even before Matan Torah. The answer is, the Gemara says, Nitna Torah v'nesein l'meidin mikodim Matan Torah. You don't learn from things that happened before Matan Torah to establish halacha. I think the Gemara mentions that Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin the 7 days of Avelus. But nevertheless, if it was given to Moshe by Hashem, then it's a din d'araisa. But if Moshe himself and his beis din come up with a takana, then it's considered d'rabbanon, even though it goes all the way back to Moshe's times.
So we have a suffix, basically.
No, so it's not a suffix. Everybody agrees that Avelus of the 7 days is only d'rabbanon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Going back to again, we're still trying to figure out the machlokes is whether aninus of the first day is d'araisa or d'rabbanon. Actually, I think everybody agrees d'araisa. I'm not sure about that, though. But maybe, but in any case, aninus laila, I think, is a machlokas. Well, I think what it is aninus yoim, the aninus of the first day, I think everybody agrees is daraisa. Aninus of the night afterwards, I think, is a machlokas. And the rest of the 7 days after the mess is buried, everybody agrees is rabbanon. Anyway, the 7 days of avelus, all the rules of the 7 days. Yeah, the whole 7 days. Yeah. I'm saying there's like this. Let's say the person passes away on Sunday. So the fact that there's aninus until they're buried, let's say Sunday afternoon, if I remember correctly, everybody agrees that's daraisa, although I may be misremembering. If, let's say, you have the mess is only going to be buried on Monday, so you're still in a state of aninus Sunday night, that I think there's a machlokas whether it's daraisa or derabanan. After the mess is buried on Monday, we're there on that day, the person starts Shiva and Shloshim, everybody agrees that the rules of Shiva and Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh are all derabanan. Getting back to, again, we're still trying to figure out why Rabbi Yishuv and Levi would have had to make two separate statements. One, halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'eruv, and the other one, in this particular case, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Ben-Nuri. So again, we said one reason was because if we only said the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Ben-Nuri, we would have thought l'chumra as well. So he needs to tell us as far as chefte hefter. So we need to be told that not. And he can't just say halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'eruv, because then we would think that it doesn't apply by a yochid versus a rabbin, as we were just discussing. So now, for Rav Papa says a whole different explanation of why Rabbi Yishuv and Levi had to make both those statements. By the way, so we have in the Gemara over here Virav Papa with a Vav, Rashi and also Agoyes HaBach take out the Vav. Because if we said Virav Papa with the Vav, then it would mean it would be a continuation of the last thing we were just saying, that we'd still be discussing what Rava had said to Abaya. But we're not. We're starting a new part of the discussion going back to Rabbi Yishuv and Levi. So the Vav doesn't belong. Anyway, there's a different reason why Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi would have had to say both of his statements. Sakrat Hamina, because without that, you would think Hani Mili be'eruv e'chatzeres. When he says Halacha k'divrei hamekel be'eruv, what do we mean as far as eruv? We know that the word eruv includes a couple of different things. It includes eruv chatzeres and includes eruv tchumen. So maybe only Hani Mili be'eruv e'chatzeres. You would think maybe he only means as far as Erev Chatzeres, that we go according to the more lenient opinion. Aval be'erev Tchumen eim aloy. Maybe when it comes to Erev Tchumen, we wouldn't say that. Maybe Erev Tchumen is different, because at least Erev Chatzeres is complete. One reason is, because we're going to see in a second in the Gemara what the difference is, but one logical reason is because Erev Chatzeres is completely Dirabanan, whereas Erev Tchumen, yeah, the Erev itself is Dirabanan, and the Tchum of 2,000 Amos is Dirabanan, but there is a basis for it. First of all, if we say that the Tchum of 12 mil is Daraisa, like the Rambam says, then it has a basis in the Torah, but also the Gemara is going to point out later on in the Perek a remez in a pasuk for the concept of Tchumen and Erev Tchumen. Well, that's according to Rabbi Akiva, that's Daraisa. But we're going to see in a couple of blocks, we're going to see on Daphne and Aleph or so, we're going to talk about a hint in a pasuk for the concept of Tchum. Even if we say it's Dirabanan. So there might be a reason to distinguish. Emoloi, so you would think maybe not. Tzricha, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has to tell us they're not. What makes you think there would be a difference between those two types of Eruv? So like this, Ditznan, we learn later on in our Masechta, we have cases over here, you mentioned before, but Zachim La'adam Shalei B'fanav and not. So the Mishnah mentions, the Mishnah mentions that when it comes into an Eruv Tchumen, you can only make it for a person midaitai. To make an Erev Tchumen for him, that he can walk a certain amount and a certain distance in one direction, you can only do that with Daita. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bamedvar Erev Tchumen, that's only as far as Erev Tchumen, because there's a Choyv involved. Because whatever you're gaining in one direction, you're losing in the other direction. Right? If you live over here and your tchum would have been in this whole area, and you place your Erev Tchumen over here, so now you can walk all the way to here, good. But on the other hand, you can't walk in this direction anything, so you lose out. So, and therefore, it would be an example of Chav and Laudam, and you can only do that Befanav. Aval be'Erev Chatzeres, but Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, there's no harm involved. You only gain that you can carry in the chotzer. Ma'arvin ben ladas or ben shalei ladas. Then you can make an eruv chatzeres on behalf of a person, whether ladas or whether shalei ladas. Shazachin la'adam shalei b'fanav ben chavin la'adam ela b'fanav. Because you make a schus for a person not in his presence, but not a choiv. Yeah, so we say with a mazaka. Yeah, we say that we're mazaka the eruv chatzeres for the whole city if necessary. Right. Right. Okay, so we see, in other words, that there's a difference between Erev Chatzeres and Erev Tchumen. Tosfos asks the question in that case, so it has nothing to do with the Chumrah of one versus the Chumrah of the other. It has to do with Ein Chav and La'adam Shalei B'fanav. The answer is, Tosfos says, when it comes to Erev Tchumen, sometimes you could have it's not really a Chav. What if the person said before Shabbos, you know, I would like to be able to walk to that next bungalow colony, but he didn't actually say, so therefore put down an Erev Tchumen for me. So you would think, therefore, okay, but he said that he is interested in going over there. Maybe, yeah, but still we say you can't do it Ela Bafanov. And vice versa, with the Erev Chatzeres, there is a little bit of Choyva involved, because usually he has to contribute food. Usually each person, nowadays we just take a box of matzah and a mezakeh to everybody, but in the old days they used to actually collect food individually from each person. And Tosfos refers to a Gemara over there that says, when it comes to the Shittuf Mavoyis, which is similar to Erev Chatzeres in this regard, that if you have a person who regularly contributes to it, and one week doesn't, then they can take bread from him bal korchoi for it. So there is a little bit of a choiv. And nevertheless we're saying that you're able to. So we see that it's not just a matter of Zochin and Chav. There is an actual chumrah that we see that we are a little more machmir with Erev Tchumen than Erev Chatzeres. Based on that, we would have said that maybe Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's rule applies only to Erev Chatzeres, not to Erev Tchumen, and therefore he needs to tell us the halachas like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri in our Mishnah, which is talking about an issue involving Tchumen, and we still see that he's makel. Rav Ashi says here's another reason why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi would have had to make both statements. Itzrich, we need both of them. Sakurat Hamina, without him saying the second statement about Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, you would have thought Hanimil b'shiure eruv. You would have thought, let's say, so you put down an eruv, and you put enough food for the eruv. The rule is with the eruv chatzeres and with the shittuf mavoyis, you have to have the rule is a certain minimum amount of food per person. Except with the eruv chatzeres, we're going to learn eventually that if you have 18 people or more, then you only need 18 gregeres, and that's enough no matter how many there are. But we'll learn about that later in the Masechta. But the point is, you do have, with Erev Chatzeres and with Shittuf Mavoyis, you have a minimum amount of food that you have to have. Shittim Avodis is when everybody around the Mavui is joining together so that they can carry in the Mavui. So you would think that maybe Hanei Mila B'Shiyure Eruv, maybe only when it comes to the leftovers. Let's say so you put down enough food for an Eruv, and then let's say you find afterwards that some of the food is missing. So we can say you're not sure whether it would be so you put down, let's say, for several weeks to come, and now you discover one time that some of the food is missing. You don't know whether it was missing at the beginning of the Shabbos or not. So fine, maybe you could say you're Makel. And you can go according to the halacha that's Makel, according to the opinion that's Makel. Alva b'tchilas Eruv emaloi. Maybe when it comes to first putting down an Eruv, or in our mission of first having a tum in the first place, emaloi, maybe not. Maybe the rule wouldn't apply in that case that we go according to the lenient opinion. And therefore, Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi would have to tell us not like that. Again, umenot tamer shonilon ben shiure eruv b'tchilas eruv. Where do you see that there would be possibly a distinction like that between the leftover food from an eruv versus making an eruv in the first place? So, like this, t'tnan, we learn again later on in the Masechta. Amar Rabbi Yosi b'medbar mamurim. When is this talking about that you need a minimum shear of food for an eruv chatzeros or a shittuv mavayis? Is b'tchilas eruv when you're first putting down an eruv? You need a gregarious for each person for an Eruv Chatzeres, or Shtei Sodas for a Shittuv Mavayis. You need for an Eruv Chatzeres, you need a gregarious, the size of a dried fig for each person, unless it's more than 18, and then you only need 18 gregarious. Or in the case of a Shittuv Mavayis, you need Shtei Sodas for each person. Aval B'Shiure Eruv, but when it comes to the left over food, if you have, again, you put down for several weeks to coming up, and then one time you discover that some of the food is missing, then even if only a tiny amount is left, the Eruv is still valid, because he says, because he says the whole reason why the Chachamim said that you have to make an Eruv Chatzeres is that the children shouldn't forget about the concept of Eruv. Meaning Rashi explains the main concept of Eruv with food applies to an Eruv Tchumen. From that, the Chachamim also developed the idea of Eruv Chatzeres. We said before, Shlomo HaMelech made the Tekana. But the essential meaning of Eruv is Eruv Tchumen. Eruv Tchumen, as we learned at the beginning of the previous parak, you also need Mazen Shtei Sodas for the Eruv Tchumen. And it's not that common to put down an Eruv Tchumen. If you don't have the rule by a Shittuv Mavayis that you need two Sodas at the beginning, then people are going to forget about the whole concept that you need two Sodas for an Eruv Tchumen. Therefore, the Chachamim required you to put down two Sodas when you're making a Shittuv Mavayis. But Rabbi Yossi says, once it was already put down, we don't care so much if some of that food is missing. Tosfos points out that later on in the sugya over there, Rashi actually learns differently that it means the reason why you make an Eruv Chatzeres to be able to carry between the houses and the Chatzer, and a Shittuv Mavayis to be able to carry between the Chatzeres and the Mavoy. Rabbi Yossi says over there, according to Rashi over there, That really you shouldn't need the Eruv Chatzeres at all. Once you have the Shittuv Mavayis, what's the purpose of the Eruv Chatzeres? The reason for it is only because children are more commonly found in the Chatzer than in the Mavui, so they don't necessarily know what's going on among the other neighbors in the Mavui, but they know what's going on among the other neighbors in the Chatzer. If you don't make an Eruv Chatzeres, they're going to not even realize that there was a Shittuv Mavayis, and they're going to think that you can freely carry without doing anything at all. So the food is kept usually in somebody's house, yeah, but the point is, no, but they'll know because it's collected every week, because they go around collecting it, but they're not necessarily going to know about the Shittuv Mavayis. Tosfos says that actually Rashi's explanation over here is preferable, that we have Eruv Chatzeres in order not to forget Eruv Tchumen. Tosfos doesn't like as much the explanation of Rashi over there. Okay, anyway. The point is, so you would think on that basis that when it comes to shiure eruv, when you're talking about some of the food was eaten and some of it is left, then fine, you can be makel like a das yochad like Rabbi Yossi. Not necessarily would that apply to placing an eruv in the first place, or in our case, to having a tum in the first place. Therefore, Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi has to tell us not only halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv, but also in our specific case, halacha is like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri when you're talking about tchilas eruv. That's Rav Ashi's point. Tchilas Eruv means to begin with, does he have a tchum or not? When he wakes up, does he have a tchum or not? Okay. Now let's talk more generally about this whole matter of when we say the halacha is like a yochid and when we say the halacha is like a rabbim. Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Zrika Amru, here's a general rule. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavei roi. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva whenever he's arguing against one individual Tana. Chaverim just means one individual Tana, as opposed to the Chachamim in general. So we said on Amud Aleph that when it comes to Eruv, when it comes to Avelus, actually, we said that Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, even against the Rabbim, but that's because we said there Halacha Kedivah Amekov Be'evil. But in general, we would say the Halacha is not usually like Rabbi Akiva when it's against the Chachamim, but the Halacha is like him when it's against one individual Tana, like Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Tarfin or whoever. When it comes to Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is like him even against the Rabbim, even against Chaverov in the plural. And the reason for that would be, by the way, the Gemara mentions in a few places, Rabbi Yossi nimukoi imo. Rabbi Yossi, whenever he gave an opinion in halacha, he always had a good solid reason to back it up. A good solid reason, nimuk means an explanation, to back it up. And therefore we can say the halacha is like him even if all the other Chachamim disagreed with him. No, it doesn't say that he had a bunch of reasons, just that he had a reason. Also, the halacha is like Rebbe against one individual Tana. For example, we have sometimes Rabbi Yossi, Rebbe sometimes argues with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, let's say, so the halacha would be like Rebbe. Again, not if Rebbe is arguing against the Chachamim in general, but if he's arguing against one individual Tana. Because, why, Papashtrus, the Gemara doesn't give a reason why with Rebbe, but Papashtrus a reason might be because Rebbe was the Nasi and he had the Chachamim in his Beis Medrash. If he held a certain opinion, then we would assume that usually if it's against only one Tana, it must mean Rebbe would have had more of a chance to check with the other Chachamim whether in fact this is correct, as opposed to the other Tana might not have. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Lamai hilchsa." What does this mean when we say, what does this mean when we say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, mechaveire, etc.? Rav Asi yom halacha. So Rav Asi says it means that's the actual halacha. In other words, that you actually paskin like that halacha. We have Rabbi Akiva against one Tana, for example. You actually paskin la halacha like Rabbi Akiva. V'Rav Chiya ba'Aba omer matin. Rav Chiya ba'Aba says no. It doesn't mean that you actually paskin halacha like them. It means that if an individual person comes and asks, who is the halacha like, we can paskin for them like Rabbi Akiva, let's say. But not that we should darshan like that berabim. If we're telling halacha, if we're paskin halacha for the general public, we shouldn't use that rule. We should still paskin, we might paskin like Rabbi Akiva, we might not. It depends on the individual circumstance. When it comes to an individual, we can tell him the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, even, for example, if Rabbi Akiva is the one who's maple. And, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, I'm a nirin. Rabbi Yosef of Chanina says it's even less than that. It means it's logical. Meaning we're not even going to tell a yachid that the halacha is necessarily like Rabbi Akiva. But if you paskin like that, then okay, it's an acceptable psak. It's an acceptable psak, but not that we should paskin like that l'hatchila even for a yachid. That's all according to Rashi. Tosfos learns differently. Halacha means that if you paskin the other way around, that it has to be reversed. The halacha is absolutely, if we say halacha, if we say that, like Rav Asi says halacha, then it means the halacha is absolutely like Rabbi Akiva mechaveroi. And if you paskin, for example, like Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Tarfin or whatever it is, then you have to undo it and tell them that you paskin wrongly. That would be if we say halacha. Matin would be that we should paskin that way, but if he paskins the other way, we'll tell him you really shouldn't be doing that. But if he does, then we're not gonna make him undo the psak. Matin means literally we incline. So Rashi says it means we'll tell it to a yachid. Tosfos says matin means we'll tell him that's not really the right way to paskin, but if he does nevertheless paskin that way against Rabbi Akiva, let's say we're not gonna tell him you have to undo the psak. And Murin then would be that if he wants to do like that, we're not going to be Moshe. So according to Tosfos, basically each one is one step up. Each one of these three things is one step up from the way Rashi defines them. Yeah. Okay, Koloshen Azer Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, using a similar Loshen, whether it's Halacha or whether it's Matin or whether it's Nirin, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan some other rules, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha and Rabbi Yehuda, whenever you have a Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, does it mean halacha absolutely, or does it mean matin, or does it mean nirin? That would depend on the three lashonis that we had before. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yosi, halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. If you have Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yosi, then the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. The Ein Sorach Loimer Rameyu Rabbi Yosi Halacha Rabbi Yosi. Needless to say, if you have a machlokas Rameyu and Rabbi Yosi, then the halacha would be like Rabbi Yosi, because we can do a kavachomer. Hashda b'makom Rabbi Yehuda, less than b'makom Rabbi Yosi min Boya. If you're telling me we don't even accept Rabbi Meir's opinion even against Rabbi Yehuda, how much more so against Rabbi Yosi? Where we're saying that Rabbi Yosi wins out over Rabbi Yehuda. So you have Rabbi Yosi wins out over Rabbi Yehuda, who wins out over Rabbi Meir. So for sure, Rabbi Yosi wins out over Rabbi Meir. We learned in the first parak, by the way, that Rabbi Meir lo yochlu chaber of lamed al seif daita. His colleagues, the other chachamim, couldn't always understand what he meant as in discussions of halacha, because he was able to argue both sides of it. So that's why we often don't pass in halacha like Rabbi Meir, because they couldn't always understand: is he saying this halacha lemaisa, or is he only saying theoretically, or is he just arguing it in order to as part of the argument in halacha and not necessarily to be kevei halacha? Yeah. Sometimes they asked him, but not always, yeah. Okay. Rav Asi, Afani Loimid. So Rav Asi says, here's another thing I can learn. Rav Yosi, Rav Shimon, Halacha Ka Rav Yosi. If you have a machlokas, Rav Yosi and Rav Shimon, the halacha will be like Rav Yosi. And we know that the Amar of Abba, Amar of Yechanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, because we know that Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that when you have a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So again, we can make a similar kavachomer. Hashda b'makom Rabbi Yehuda lesser. If we don't accept Rabbi Shimon's opinion against Rabbi Yehuda, b'makom Rabbi Yosi midvaya, how much more so we're not going to accept it against Rabbi Yosi, who is stronger than Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, the halacha is going to be like, so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, so therefore, in a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yosi, the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yosi. Which, by the way, I mean, we know how great Rabbi Shimon was when it came to Nister of Torah, the whole Kabbalah, the Zohar was written by him, etc. But in Nigla of Torah, we see that he doesn't always come out on top. The Rebbe actually talks about someplace in a letter. There's an expression in the Medrash where Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Shimon, "Dayecha shani uvorecha makirin keichecha." It should be enough for you that I and your Creator recognize how great you are. And the Rebbe explains on a deeper level, "Ani" refers to higher level, it refers to Atzilus or something. "Barecha" means bria. So like you have greatness in those higher olamas, but not necessarily when it comes down to olam ha'asiyah that we're in over here. Okay. So now we have the question, what about if you have a machlokas or mayor against Rav Shimon? Who is the halacha like? And the answer is taker. We can't be sure. With that said, though, Rav Shmuel HaNogid mentions, Rav Shmuel, you can find in the back of a Gemara Brachas, you can find Mavoya Talmud from Rav Shmuel HaNogid, where he gives us some basic rules and some basic tools to learn Gemara. And he says that in this case, Rav Meir against Rav Shimon, he says the halacha would be like Rav Shimon. They wonder where the Noda Yehuda wonders where does he get that from. One possibility is we find something in a Rosh in Avodah Zarah that seems to imply that he had the Girsa over here, Halacha Kereb Shimon, because he mentions in a particular Machlokas over there, a Meir and Reb Shimon, he says the Halacha is like Reb Shimon, like it says in Eruvin. So that would mean that in Or Gemara here in Eruvin he had the Girsa, the Halacha is like Reb Shimon. Also, they point out there's a Yerushalmi that says that in that case, the Halacha is like Reb Shimon. So that could be another source that Reb Shmuel HaNogid based himself on. So there is reason to say that in that case, halacha would be like Rav Shimon rather than take, or as the Gemara is saying over here. Okay. We're going to continue on this tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Question.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah,
in a case of Eruv Chatzeres, when neighbors change, do you have to start an Eruv again, or it's not necessary?
No, in general, you're mizdaket. If I remember correctly, no. In general, you're mizdaket in advance for any new neighbors that will come. But we're going to learn about that later on, and we're going to learn about that later on in the Masechta, in the 6th or 7th Perek. So we'll get to it then, Mr. Shem.
But 1 second. If you made an Eruv with someone, and that person has left, do you have to do another Eruv with the new person?
No, that's what I'm saying. If I remember correctly, when you make the Eruv Chatzeres in the first place, you're mezake in advance for any new neighbors that are going to come live there. I'm not 100% sure about that. I will have to look that up. But if I remember correctly, that's so, and we're going to talk about it later on in our Masechta in more detail.
Shker. Sure.